I just want to say, you saw Jack Delaney in the video. Jack and his wife are here this morning. Where are you guys out there? Where you are? Where are you? Yeah, there you are, right back there, Jack. Jack said he'd been in here in this church his whole life. He wasn't exaggerating about that. He's been in this church his whole life, and he wasn't a charter member, but he was close. So real close. And so we're so grateful that you guys are able to join us this morning. Thank you for being here. He's got his 97th birthday coming up in just a little over a month. So how amazing is that? Man, that's good news. We've had a great weekend. I'd like to get one more round of applause for Deanne McGuire and the team that put our 100-year anniversary party together. Would you give them a round of applause? We had a wonderful time all weekend hanging out together, and we've been able to, so many folks who are part of this church's history have been here this weekend, and it's been so neat for me to meet them and for you guys to hang out with them and reconnect with them. It's been a wonderful, we've done all kinds of stuff together, we've eaten together, and we're going to do that again, and I do want to apologize, though, because normally we don't show horror movies at the church, but yesterday we broadcast the Tech game up here, and it was... And so I know some of us almost lost our religion during the game. But praise be to God, His grace is sufficient, and He brought us back. You know. So, but anyway, it's been a wonderful weekend, and I've had a wonderful time hanging out with all of you guys. You know, we're 100 years old. We ought to talk about. I've been thinking about this all week. I wanted to try to talk to you guys just to kind of put it in context. Here are a few things that First Baptist Church is older than. Okay. We're older than these things. Are you ready? First thing, chocolate chip cookies. We're older than chocolate chip cookies. Did you know that? Chocolate chip cookies invented in 1938, okay? Now, cookies have been around for like 1,400 years, but it took us that long to figure out how to put chocolate in them, which seems to me to be a travesty of unequal proportions. But yeah, chocolate chip cookies, 1928, we're older than chocolate chip cookies. The next thing, how about this? Shopping carts. We're older than shopping carts, ladies and gentlemen. They were invented in 1937, actually. And when they were first invented, it took a long while for them to catch on, because when they were first invented, no one wanted to use them, because, you know, men didn't want, they thought pushing them around made them, you know, look like they were weak, and so they didn't want to do it. And women didn't want to use them. So what they had to do is they hired a bunch of models to go around pushing the carts around, so people would be like, oh, you can be a handsome devil and push a shopping cart around. So if I had been living in 1937, I probably would have been pushing a shopping cart to try to get you guys on board. We're older than shopping carts. We're older than can openers. Older than can openers invented in 1923. Now, cans were invented in 1858. So that means that let me do some quick math here. That means for 60 years, we just had cans and nobody could get into them. They're just sitting on the shelf. It's a good thing that they don't go bad. That's, you know, because we are able to still use them. How about this? First Baptist Church Shallow Water is older than sliced bread. Sliced bread invented in 1928. And First Baptist Shallow Water older than sliced bread. And I would venture to say maybe the best thing since, if we're being honest, right? Sliced bread. How about this? Here's the one that's really going to shock you. First Baptist Church Shallow Water, older than Betty White. Older, not by much. Not by much. And I want to say that you know, it's awesome to me that we look as good as Betty White. Now, 100 years old, and we look as good as she does, right? And making it happen just like she is. And I didn't put this slide up there, but older than Bart Greer, the ladies and gentlemen. I know that that's a shock to your sister. I got to give him a hard time. He made a joke about me the other day, so I threw that in there. Good times. All right. But look, we've had a long history here of serving the Lord together and serving the Lord in this community. What a wonderful thing that we get to come together and we celebrate that. But one of the things that we need to do at opportunities like this, where we celebrate God's history and God's work in the life of our church, one of the things that we need to do is remind ourselves of who it is that God has called us to be, right? Who are we as a church? Who are we as the body of Christ in shallow water? We need to be reminded of that, and we need to be reminded of what that means for each of us individually. And so what I want to do this morning is talk with you guys through some pivotal things that our church desires, right? Here are the things that we want to be, and that we've wanted to be these things for 100 years. We've been striving to be these things for 100 years. And the passage of Scripture that we read this morning, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, and it outlines this so well for us. So we're just going to walk through Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 together. But the first thing that we need to remember about ourselves, right, as the body of Christ in the city of shallow water, is that we are rooted in the gospel. We're rooted in the gospel. Look with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And My new friend Ernest read that passage for us so well this morning, but let's look at Ephesians 2:8. Here's what the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. He says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. And guys, if we could just put in a nutshell what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a follower of Christ, the Apostle Paul wrote about it right there. And we have to understand, as a community, as a church, right, the very first thing that we have to acknowledge is that we're rooted in the gospel. God, we believe, has rescued us. God intervened at that point in our lives when we most needed him. In fact, the word grace right there, it's his grace, and grace means undeserved love, unmerited favor that's reached into our lives and rescued us. And every person in this room who claims the name of Jesus, we would all be willing and excited to testify to the fact that we've experienced the undeserved love of God. He reached into our lives when we were far from him, when we were even running away from him. And his love poured into our lives is what transformed us and what rescued us. We can't claim any part of the process. It was the work of Almighty God. The Lord God Almighty poured his love out on us in spite of our rebellion, in spite of our opposition to the things of God, in spite of the fact that we were living far from God and his will for our lives. And earlier in Ephesians chapter 2, the three verses prior to what we just read, the Apostle Paul points out all the stuff that we were doing. And basically what he says is we were slaves of our own desires. We were pursuing our own desires, what we wanted for our own lives. We were pursuing our own desires. And the problem with our own desires is that they can't be trusted. And if we follow our own desires, if we follow where our own desires lead us, they will lead us to death and destruction. But because God loved us, he sent his only son. He sent his only son to live, to testify to his character. He sent his only son to die and to be resurrected and to conquer once and for all sin and death and evil in our world. That's what our Father God did for us. That's what he did. And so we can't claim any part of the process. It's all because of God's amazing love for us. He's reached out to us. He's pursued us. He's chased us down with his love. And we know our desires can't be trusted. Our desires lead us to death. And so what we have come to understand as the body of Christ is that our work, our job, is to be surrendered completely to him. And that's what it means to be a Christian, y'all. Being a Christian means that I've taken my heart, I've taken my life, I've taken my dreams for my future, I've taken all of my desires, I've taken all of my feelings, and I have placed them at the foot of Jesus, and I have surrendered all of myself, all that I am, all that I want, I've surrendered all of that to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've given him every part of me. That's what it means to be a Christian. Now let me say this, and this is important. That's the gospel that First Baptist Shallow Water has been preaching for 100 years. But it's possible that there's someone here this morning and that's not ever been something that you've done in your life. Now you come to church, right? You've come to church, sing some songs, listen to the bald guy talk, right? Maybe even go to a Sunday school class every now and then. and you're trying to take some Jesus, you're trying to take Jesus, and you're trying to treat Jesus kind of like garlic salt. You know, if I could just sprinkle a little bit of Jesus on top of my life, it'll make it taste better. And we're trying to operate in our Christianity, in our religious life. We're trying to operate in that way. And I need to lovingly say, because I care about you, because I'm your pastor, because I love you, I have to say to you, that's not what it means to be a Christian. And if we're trying to take our lives the way we want them, our lives the way we've orchestrated them, and we think we can just kind of dust a little Jesus on the top of that, that's not what it means to be a Christian. And it's possible that there's someone here this morning who believes that they're a Christian because they come to church and because they try to be a good person. You believe that you're a Christian, but you've never surrendered yourself to Jesus. You've never given your life, your heart, your desires, everything about you. You've never turned that all over to Jesus and said, Lord Jesus, I need you. Forgive me. I give all of myself to you. You've never had a moment like that in your life. And if that's true of you, guess what? Good news, because the Lord brought you here today, because he wanted for our church's 100th birthday to be your birthday too. And he wants for you to come to know him in a way that you never imagined possible. But in order for that to happen, it requires from us surrender. That's what it means to be a Christian. And that's the gospel we've been preaching for over 100 years at this church. No one at this church, y'all, this is important, and I need for you to hear this, especially if you're visiting with us this morning, especially if this is your first kind of interaction with First Shallow Water, if you're on the live stream, maybe church is not a thing for you, you just kind of popped in, you know, I don't know, but here's what I need you to understand. No one at this church is trying to boast, because we understand we got nothing to boast about. This right here, First Baptist Church, Shallow Water, is a church full of broken and messed up people who've experienced firsthand the life-changing love of Jesus Christ. So we got nothing to boast about. We've got nothing to brag about. It's all because of the love of our Savior. No one at this church is looking down on anyone else, trying to judge anyone else, trying to view what's going on in somebody else's life and be like, boy, that's so terrible. I can't believe they're struggling with that. That's not what we do. You know why? Because all of us in this room understand that apart from Christ, we are capable of unimaginable evil. And we don't just know that philosophically. Many of us know it experientially. We have committed unimaginable evil because we were far from God. And so we're not trying to judge anybody else. We understand. We know where we've been. We know what Jesus has done in our lives. And we're just grateful. That's the only emotion that we can have. We run up against people who are far from God. We're like, you know what? I've been where you've been. I understand exactly what that looks like. The only thing that we're trying to do at First Baptist Shallow Water, we're not trying to co-opt people. We're not trying to strong arm them into some kind of religious order. We're not trying to help them to understand some kind of moral code. That's not what we're doing. The only thing that we're trying to do at First Baptist Shallow Water, the same thing we've been trying to do for 100 years. The only thing we're trying to do is introduce people to Jesus Christ. That's it. Because that relationship has fundamentally changed everything about who we are. And all we want for you this morning is to know him. That's it. It's Jesus that changes us. It's the love of Christ that reaches into our hearts and transforms us completely. And I'll crawl up on this stage every week, and I will preach the gospel to you every week. But I need for you to understand something. I know with all of my heart that there is nothing that I will ever say or do that will transform any person in this room. I can't make anyone change. Holy Spirit of God causes change in the hearts and the lives of people. And I just want you to meet Jesus. That's what we've been doing here for 100 years. That's what we're going to do for the next 100 years. We're rooted in the gospel. But that's not even the best part. It's a really great part, okay? But it's not even the best part. Listen to this. Ephesians 2:10. In Ephesians 2:10, this is what the Apostle Paul writes. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. There's some beautiful truths in this passage of Scripture, and we need to dig into them. The first thing is this. We're rooted in the gospel, but guess what else? We are masterpieces. We are masterpieces. That's what Paul says in the first part of that verse. We are God's masterpiece. And the image here is of an expert craftsman who is creating this beautiful and functional and useful tool, right? That's the image that word master, that we translate masterpiece. That's the image that word is trying to convey. And I don't know if maybe you guys have seen this. I can't remember if I've talked about this show before, but there's a show on Netflix called Blown Away. Has anybody seen that show? Raise your hand if you've seen Blown Away. There's a few of us. So it's a competition show. It's kind of like those baking shows or America's Got Talent or some of those. It's a competition show, but the people in the show are glass blowers. Right, and so they have like a combination of things that they're supposed to use, and then they have like a challenge each week that they're supposed to whoever does it the best, you know, wins that show. And they're it's amazing. Have you guys ever watched somebody like create a glass sculpture, like a glass blower at work? It's unbelievable. You should pop into that show and just see kind of the things that they create on there. It never ceases to amaze me, because like the stuff that they're using, the substances, it's sand, soda, ash, limestone. Like if you just were to look at some sand or soda or ash or whatever, if you were just to look at that, it wouldn't impress you very much, right? It's dirt, basically. It's kind of what it is, right? But these folks, these master craftsmen, they take this stuff that just looks like dirt. They take this stuff and they apply some heat to it, and they do all these other crazy things to it. And the next thing you know, this beautiful thing is emerging out of this what looked like dirt. It's unbelievable. It really is. And that's the image, friends, that I believe that the Lord wants us to see in this passage of Scripture. When the Apostle Paul says we are God's masterpiece, that's what he means. The Lord God Almighty taking this stuff that looks like dirt, me and you, looks like dirt, but not impressive in and of itself, but in the hands of the master craftsman, all of a sudden he applies some heat and he does all these amazing, wonderful things in our lives. And before we know it, this beautiful thing is emerging out of what looked like nothing. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what God is doing. And there's someone here this morning. And I need to speak directly to you. There's someone here this morning that you feel ugly, rotten, useless. You feel like a failure. And maybe that's because there were some people in your life who were supposed to be the people who were telling you about how much God loves you and about who you are in Christ Jesus, but instead they were telling you lies about who you are, and so you've kind of grown up and kind of evolved in your life believing that you're worthless and that there's nothing good about you and that you're not worthy of being loved. Maybe that's where you are. And maybe there's someone here who you've made some terrible mistakes, and because of those mistakes that you've made, you're just crippled by shame this morning, and you don't believe that there's anything worth having in your life or worth loving in your life, because you've hurt so many people and you've done so many terrible things, and you're having trouble imagining how there's any way forward for you in this world. And what I need to say to you this morning, what I need for you to hear this morning, is that is not what the God of hosts sees when he looks at your life. It's not who he desires for you to be. If you'll turn your life, even if it looks like dirt, if you'll turn your heart and your life over to the master craftsman, what he wants to do is breathe his breath into you. What he wants to do is cause something beautiful and miraculous to spring forth out of your life. That's what his desire is. It's super important, though, to note that Paul, when he was writing this passage, he wasn't writing it speaking to individuals. When he said, we are God's masterpiece, he was talking about the church. He was talking about the church at Ephesus, but also the church of God. He meant that together, we are God's masterpiece. That the most beautiful thing about us is the way that we're connected to one another in Jesus Christ. That's what he meant. And I just want to say that, you know, I've been at First Baptist Shallow Water only since January, but already I have experienced a little bit of what that must have felt like for Paul as he was writing to his good friends in Ephesus, that the most beautiful thing about us is the way that we're connected together and what God wants to do in us and what God wants to do through us as we come together for the purpose of the kingdom of God. The most important way, the most beautiful way that we're God's masterpieces is that he's put us together. And friends, if we listened to those videos and we saw those folks who were up here on this stage before testifying to the goodness of God in their time and the time that they've spent here in this church, we can step back and see, oh man, that's beautiful. That's God's masterpiece. Thank you for letting me be a part of that. And here's what I want you to know. As beautiful as it's been, for 100 years of service, God's best work is still coming. What he wants to do in this place in the near future is more beautiful, more amazing, more miraculous than you and I could ever imagine. And I know there's some folks in the room, and you've been kind of hanging out, you've been kind of visiting, you've been kind of coming on Sunday mornings and checking in a little bit, right? But you haven't thrown your hat in here. You've not really surrendered your life to Christ in this place. Like, you've not said, yes, this is where God wants me. God wants me to join with these people. Here's the thing: God created you and I to be in relationship with one another. That's how he made us. He designed us. We can't accomplish the work of God by ourselves. He made us to be in community. And here's the thing. Some of you have been wondering whether or not, should I throw in my lot here? Should I really get involved here? Should I plug in here? Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit wants you to know this morning. You ready? Unequivocally. Here's what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you. Yes, you should. Yes, you should, because I'm doing something here. I'm on the move here. That's what the Holy Spirit wants you to know. And I want to use you to be a part of what I'm doing in this town and with these people. And so if you've been wondering, if you've been questioning, is it time? Absolutely, it's time. Next Sunday, October the 3rd, 9:15, right across the hall in the conference room, we're going to have a new member class. That class is for you. Because God wants you to be a part of his work here at this church. God wants for you to be a part of the beautiful masterpiece he's creating right here. It's time to get off the fence. It's time to get plugged in. We're God's masterpiece, y'all, rooted in the gospel and God's masterpiece. Listen to this. We are in Christ, too. We're in Christ. He says we're God's masterpiece, right? Created in Christ. Somehow this new creation that we are, somehow, this new creation that we're becoming, our essence is bound up in Jesus Christ. There's a lot of different images that Paul uses and that Scripture used to describe that for you and I, but you want to know my favorite one? It's adoption. That you and I have been adopted into the family of God. And even though we didn't have his name before, he's given us his name. He's called us his own. He's invited us into his family. How beautiful is that? We're in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, he writes this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 16 and 17. So Paul, right before this, let me back up and read, start with verse 11, and then you guys can join me when I get to verse 16. But Paul writes, because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. No, we're giving you a reason to be proud of us so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we're crazy, it's to bring glory to God. And if we're in our right minds, it's for your benefit. Listen to this, verse 14. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they'll live for Christ who died and was raised for them. Did you hear that? And then in verse 16, listen, so we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and the new life has come. Our new creation is in Christ. And it's only because of Christ that we're able to live out the gospel, that we're able to be the people that God has created us to be. Christ himself enables us and empowers us to live the Christian life. In fact, our identity is bound up in Christ. We're called by his name. Now listen, y'all. Somebody here this morning, I read those words in 2 Corinthians 17. Somebody here this morning was like, man, I would love for that to be true. I would love for my old life to be gone and for a new life to come. Because the old life has left you broken and empty. I want you to know something this morning. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power that raised him from the dead, the power that exists in his Holy Spirit. What God wants to do this morning, he wants to come into your life and he wants to completely transform you into his own image. New life can come today. And if you're hungry, anxious, desperate for new life, then today is your day. Today's the day the Lord wants to pour that out on you in the name of his son, Jesus. We're in Christ. And we're in Christ as the body of Christ here at First Shallow Water. Together, we're the body of Christ. That's what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, that we're all a parts of the body, and the head of the body is Jesus Christ. And so we're all parts of his body. I don't know if you remember this. Maybe some of you do. Anybody remember Voltron? Anybody remember that? Some of us might, maybe. Maybe old people like me remember Voltron. Voltron, the animated TV series about these five robots that were saving the universe from evil. You know what I mean? And they would come together. The five robots would come together, and they would form one big robot, right? And the big robot was able to conquer, you know, evil and darkness in the universe. It was an amazing show. I watched it when I was a kid. I loved that show. You can still watch it, you know, on YouTube or wherever else you want to stream stuff. But yeah, Voltron. It was a fun show, awesome show. And look, there's a sense in which that's who we are in Christ Jesus. I told you before, God didn't create us to live the Christian life alone. The Christian life can't be lived alone. When we come to Christ, he puts us in community. And we come together to form this thing that's bigger than any individual one of us. And empowered by the Spirit of God, we are to march out into the universe, right, and conquer the powers of death and hell and darkness and sickness and oppression in the name of Jesus Christ. That's who we're supposed to be. And that's how God wants to use us. But too often, some of us think the Christian life is that we're supposed to go out there and fight all those powers on our own. We're supposed to overcome evil and darkness by ourselves. And what happens? We get out there and we start trying to do that. And y'all, we get our rear ends handed to us because we can't do it by ourselves. That's not what the Lord wants. But together, in Christ Jesus, Satan himself trembles before the church of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, led by the Son, loved by the Father. That's who we're supposed to be, rooted in the gospel. Y'all, masterpieces in Christ. And lastly, we touched on this a little bit, but we're part of the plan. We're part of the plan. You saw what Paul wrote there in Ephesians chapter 2 at the end. He says in verse 10, now you've been united. He says salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. None of us can boast about it. Here it is. We are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus. Why? So we can do the good things that he planned for us to do. We've been created for something, y'all. You've been created for something. God has a plan for your life. Before you were born, God was giving you gifts, knitting you together, because he had a purpose for you, dreams for you and for your life and for my life and for our lives together. He created you for good things. I heard a story not too long ago about Jessica DeLong. Jessica DeLong is the chief engineer emerita of the John J. Harvey, okay? The John J. Harvey is a fireboat in New York City. So we don't understand that in West Texas, you know, boats. But there are places in the world where there's this liquidy substance called water, okay, and rivers and oceans and stuff like that. And so the John J. Harvey is a fireboat. And so when there was a fire, like the John J. Harvey could pull up and it would you know, have hoses and stuff on it, or pump water to the fire so that we could put the fire out. The John J. Harvey was built and commissioned in 1931. You hear that? 1931. And it existed, worked for a long time in New York and in the Hudson Bay. And eventually the boat was retired. Jessica DeLong was the chief engineer emerita of the retired boat, John J. Harvey. And Jessica DeLong talks about the craftsmanship of the John J. Harvey, that it was built. It was amazing. Everything on that boat built in 1931 still worked, right? Still worked. Just like my friend Bart. Everything still worked. Bart Greer, it worked still. Because it was crafted, man. A craftsman put that together, man. A craftsman made that beautifully, fearfully, and wonderfully made. As anyone who's met Bart would know. But that boat was amazing. When she became the chief engineer of it, everything still worked. And she would have to keep things working sometimes. But all of that had been crafted so well, so beautifully, that it all still worked without a hitch, right? On September the 11th, 2001, the John J. Harvey was called into action. The largest maritime evacuation in history. 500,000 people were evacuated from Manhattan Island. And the John J. Harvey was one of the boats that was evacuating people off of the island. They were giving support to the firemen. They were pumping water, you know, pumping water to the firemen so that, because all the water had been shut off on the island of Manhattan. So all these fires were going on, and the firefighters on 9/11 were trying to fight all these fires, and the water was gone. So the John J. Harvey had pulled up and was pumping water to the firemen so that they could fight the fires. Established, crafted, built in 1931 for a good purpose. You know, we don't make things like that anymore, y'all. Everything we make is disposable, you know. It doesn't last like it used to. That boat was built for a good purpose, to do good work. And I need for you to hear that that's what God has done in you and in me and in us together as his church. He created us for something good. See, here's the thing. Lord God Almighty, he has a plan. This world is broken. It's infected with sin. It's dying. And God's not okay with leaving this world to suffer and to die. And so he is redeeming his creation. He's working right now to redeem his creation, to draw it back into right relationship with himself. And the culmination of that was when his son Jesus was raised from the dead and his power was unleashed fully and finally upon this earth. His kingdom came and his redemption story is at work right now in this world. And he has a plan for you and I. This thing that he's doing, this redemption story, this beautiful healing that he's doing of his creation, you and I are supposed to be part of it. We were created to be a part of it. And he knows the good works that he wants for us to do. He knew them before we were born. He knew before First Shallow Water was ever even a dream in somebody's mind of how he might use this church in this community. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for me. He's got a plan for us. And it's a beautiful dream, one that we couldn't even begin to ask or imagine. And the dream, friends, is this, that his healing, that his power, that his miracle working power would flow through us into the lives of those around us, that lives would be transformed forever because of what he's doing in you and I. And so often you and I settle for so much less than that. We settle for so much less than what God's dreams are for us. And you need to be reminded, and I need to be reminded, he's created us for good works that he planned for us before the foundations of the world. He's inviting you and me this morning to be a part of it. He's inviting you and me, not just to be a part of what he's doing, but to live into the calling that he placed on our lives before we ever were created. To be who it is that he's created us to be. I don't know about you, but this morning, all in the world I want is for the power of Almighty God to be unleashed in me the way that he designed for it to be from the very beginning. The John J. Harvey literally pulling people out of the fire, rescuing people on one of the darkest days in the history of this nation. That's what it was built to do. That's what you were built to do. That's what I was built to do. That's what we were built to do together. Don't miss that this morning. Don't settle for anything less than that. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for your word this morning, for your Holy Spirit. God, thank you for the plan that you have for each of us, the dreams that you have for each of our lives. And this morning, God, some of us, we need to just repent this morning because we've settled for less than that. We're chasing all kinds of things in our lives, Lord. We're chasing a career. Some of us are chasing relationships. Some of us are chasing kids, Lord God. We're doing all kinds of things this morning, but we're not seeking after you. We're not seeking to be used by you. We're not seeking to live out the purposes that you have for us. We need to repent. We need to ask for forgiveness for you from that. And Lord, some of us here this morning, we've never surrendered our heart and life to you. We've never turned our lives over to you. And this whole idea that you've created us to rescue others, to pull others out of the fire, Lord, we can't even get our heads around that. But Lord, this morning, if you would give us the strength, if you would give us the courage to surrender ourselves to you, Lord, you promise in your word that you will do that in us. Please, God, help us to do that. Someone here this morning who will surrender their heart and their life to you completely for the first time. Please, God. We love you. And our example, Lord God, of what it means to live fully into the purpose that you have for us is your son Jesus, who poured himself out on our behalf, who gave his own life for us and rose, Lord, in your power, victorious over the grave. Help us to follow his lead, God. Help us to be that as well. It's in Jesus' name we pray.